The recipe for a good and long life. That's what we'll hear today on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz, and we're about to get some great counsel from the lives of two old men. No, it's not me and Dr. McGee, but two grand old men from the wilderness wanderings, Joshua and Caleb. So while you find a seat and get ready for a great study, Greg and I have got a couple of letters to share from our fellow Bible bus passengers.
Steve, I thought they were talking about you and me when they said two old men, because Steve and I are friends, and I am just ever so slightly older than him.
I was going to say, they would have to say that's one old
one. I never hear the end of it, except I never hear him quote those Bible verses about respecting your elders. But we're not here to work out our personal friendship issues. Seriously, I just love how Dr. McGee describes Joshua and Caleb. He said they had the faith to forget the past, the faith to face facts, and faith to face the future. Wow, I like that.
That's a lot of faith.
That's a whole lot, and a lot of F's in that, a lot of alliteration. So,
yes.
But God is bigger than the giants. We need to hear that. But today, let's just share a letter about how God is overcoming giants in other people's lives today through the ministry, through the Bible.
Yeah, this one's really interesting. This is from Kevin, and he calls himself a forest walker. So Kevin is seeing God help him overcome the giants of rebellion and drug use. Here's his story. After 14 years of serious rebellion to God, I am living in the woods with a hand crank radio. Wow. Dr. McGee's familiar voice and compassionate teaching has awakened my long-buried faith. I have since repented, burned all my marijuana in the wood stove, and attended radio seminary with you every day. I am so grateful to all the staff and the contributors who keep this program going. I have no money to offer and face several challenges as I re-enter society. But my most important problem is now solved, as I am in relationship with God through Christ. Amen, Kevin. I am thankful that people care enough to keep the gospel flowing into the lives of others.
Wow, that is just an extraordinary story. And it's what I love about the broadcasting and media. You hear me quote Dr. McGee all the time. We're just flinging the seed out there.
Yeah, and I've met guys just like this. I went to school at UC Santa Cruz for a couple of years.
Okay.
And there were guys that attended classes that wore the UC Santa Cruz gym clothes and then literally lived in the forest.
Wow.
So I understand the kind of guy that this guy is, and it's so exciting to think that he's come to the Lord and he's growing in his faith in the woods.
Yeah, and even though we love to look into the new high-tech options for getting the word to people in the remotest parts of the world, here's a guy with a hand crank radio, and I've been around many of those as well.
Yeah.
They really work. They work very well.
Yeah.
And I wonder how he got it. I'd like to hear the rest of the story.
Yeah.
But
well,
it's
we don't
exciting.
Have time. Yeah. So, Greg, why don't you pray for us as we open our study in the book of Joshua together?
Father, we're just so grateful that you are finding lost sheep everywhere, and we thank you for Kevin's story, and we pray for his journey and the journey of all of us that are studying your word and seeking to follow hard after you. We love you. We pray you'll open our eyes as we study your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
We come actually today to the 13th chapter of the book of Joshua. We had in chapter 12, and I'm not going into detail there, the roster of the kings of Canaan. And you go down the list, and very candidly, this to me is not exciting. And I can't find, actually, too much here of any spiritual import. Now, I know that's a very frank confession to make, but a chapter like this, the thing that it impresses upon me is the detail that the God of this universe has given to items like this. Very candidly, you would think that he'd constantly be dealing in grandiose terms with great issues. But you see, God gets right down to the nitty-gritty, right where you and I live. We sometimes hesitate to take to God in prayer so many of the details of our lives. We think, well, we ought not to talk to him about that. Well, friends, talk to him about it, because it's very important to take these, and he wants to hear them. Notice how a chapter like this, to me, is very uninteresting. But I want to say this to you. It's not uninteresting to the God of this universe. He made a record of all of these kings that surrendered to Joshua. and of the way that they took that land. You see, God is interested in the details of your life. I had a liberal professor many years ago. He says, you take the Bible literally, and I said, yes. And he said, you believe that God's got books up there that he's going to open someday and books to look at? You don't believe that, do you? You know, I think I shocked him. I said, I sure do. I think he's got books, friends. And here's a book, and here's a chapter, all about these kings. I never heard of them. I know nothing about them. God does. He's recorded it. And I'm of the opinion that up there, you're in a book. Hope mine is not in the book of works. I want to be in the Lamb's book of life, by the way. That's the book to be in. But my friend, whoever you are, your name's written down up there, and it may be in the book of the Lamb's book of life. You'll get in there by the new birth, by trusting Christ. And you don't get in there by your effort. There's a book of works, and he'll record your works, all the details of it, everything you've ever done. But I want to say this. When some of us get up there and find out that about all we did give was a cup of cold water that cost us nothing, it's going to be embarrassing indeed. It's all written down. And this chapter here, I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to read a verse in it. I'm just going to pass over it, friends. But it has a message, does it not, to us today? It's very meaningful to God and your life and my life. Now, my life may not be very meaningful to you, and your life may not be very meaningful to me. I share a great many personal experiences because that's the only way that I know to convey truth, because if it doesn't, you know, work down here in the hopper of our lives, it's just no good. When it moves out yonder, it just becomes theory, and I use that. And a dear brother, retired preacher, he's got plenty of time on his hands, and he wrote me about a 12-page letter. He'd had a similar experience. Now, they gave me the letter, and if you want to know the truth, I read it, and I thought, well, actually, to me, it was quite meaningless. Places I never heard of, people I never knew, experience that he'd had, and a church he served that I never heard of. But you know, the interesting thing was, God knows about it, and that is written down, and that's interesting to God. May I say to you, it adds a great deal to the dimension of this life that you and I are living today. Now we come to the 13th chapter of the book of Joshua. I read this verse last time, and let me read it again, the first verse of Joshua 13. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Tremendous truth in that verse, by the way. To begin with, we're just at the 13th chapter of the book of Joshua, and there are 24 chapters, and here he is already an old man, and he's already stricken in years. And he's not going to be able to lead the children of Israel much longer. In fact, the wars are over. Joshua led them in, and he was the leader that God used to take the land. But the interesting thing is here that I didn't realize so much time had elapsed. He was 80 years old when God called him. Now he's about 120 years old, and that means that he's had 40 years. And my, how time got by. Much faster than it did when they were in the wilderness. You see, the wilderness, it was long drawn out. And I'm of the opinion that many of you that listen just thought we never would get through that dry and desolate, and as Moses called it, a terrible wilderness. And I think Moses knew a great deal about that wilderness. He not only spent 40 years in it, but the 40 years before he'd been out in the desert of Midian on the backside of the desert. He knew a great deal about it. He called it a terrible wilderness. But now they're in the land of milk and honey, and they're laying hold of these great possessions. And time really passes fast. And one of the things that causes time to hang heavy on the hands of so many folk is that if they just only be doing something for God, only be living a life for him, my high time passes then. And then when you begin to get older, I've noticed how time passes. I recall my last pastorate. I was busy. I began as really a young man. 21 years went by. Before I knew it, they just slipped by. And all of a sudden, I discover I'm an old man and that I now am ready to retire myself. My, how time got by. They've been thrilling years, and very frankly, the most thrilling part of my ministry has taken place since I've retired in this ministry of radio and in having conferences. I've seen more results. I've seen more of the hand of God. I'm more conscious of His leading than any time in my life. I think Joshua would have said that. Now, Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. The Lord told him he was old. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Now, this is the important part of it. I thought they were doing very well. They went into the land. We saw, drove a wedge right into the center of the land. Then they went to the south, conquered that area, moved to the north. They've conquered that area. And I thought, my, they've done a fine job. But you notice, there's very much land yet to be possessed. After doing a tremendous job, may I say, friends, that's going to be true of you and me. It's been true of every servant of God. He never did all that he'd like to do. You remember what Paul said in Philippians? He says in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, and that means full grown, reaching the age of maturation, full maturation. Paul could say, I have not yet attained, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul said, He called me to do a certain thing, and I want to do that. God said to Joshua, the whole land is there. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given you that. But they didn't walk on all of it. And friends, you and I never will in this life be able to possess all of our spiritual possessions. Now, I meet a few saints today, and thank the Lord there are just a few like this. They give me the impression they have arrived. That there's nothing more for them to know. There's nothing more for them to do. They are very much satisfied with their lives, and they have no desire to press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the children of Israel, even after all of this period of 40 years conquering that land, it still can be said there's very much land to be possessed. And you and I will never reach the place where we have fully arrived. That is the wonder, I think, and the glory of going to heaven someday, because there you and I are going to be able to reach our goal. There's where we really are going to reach the place where we should be today. Paul never did in this life, and if Paul never did, I'm confident I never will. Now he's told here in chapter 13, and I should call your attention now, we've come to another major division of the book. The land is divided now. Although they haven't got it all, as we've said before, they were given 300,000 square miles. They only possess, even in their heyday, 30,000 square miles. Now we find here in chapters 13 through 21, the land is divided. And we find that actually the command of Joshua is terminated. That he's no longer General Joshua. He's now called upon to divide the land. And we find here in chapter 13 that the thing that he's called upon especially to do is to make sure that these 2.5 tribes are confirmed in what Moses had promised to them. And that's very important to see. He says, now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the 9 tribes and a half tribe of Manasseh, with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. Now they were to be given this On the other side, Jordan. Moses had promised it to them, and now they are to receive it, the Reubenites and the Gadites. Now the half-tribe of Manasseh, half of that tribe was over on the other side of the Jordan River. And that now is to be confirmed to them. Now we come to one of the most remarkable chapters that's in the Bible, I think. It's chapter 14 of Joshua. Caleb is given Hebron. This man, Caleb, is a remarkable man. Personally, I think he's just as remarkable as Joshua is. And I want you to get acquainted with him here in the 14th chapter. Now, will you notice, and I'm reading, "And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and for the half-tribe." Now, I have put in the notes on Joshua a map that shows the position of the 12 tribes. We find that Gad and Reuben are on the east bank, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. Then you have, beginning way down in the south, Simeon and Judah and Benjamin and Dan and Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, Naphtali, Asher, and Dan way up north, all the way from Dan down to Beersheba. The land is divided with the tribes. Now we're going to have something to say about that later on. But notice now, verse 5 of chapter 14 of Joshua, "As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land." This was the way it was, and we'll see that as we move along. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Now, here's a man, friends, who wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, you want a recipe today for long life and a good life? Well, here it is. Here is a man who wholly followed the Lord my God, he says. Now, listen to him. Verse 10. "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." Now, here's this man. He is now 85 years old, and he's getting up in years. And yet he says, "I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me into this land." Now, that means that he spent 40 years in that wilderness. And during that 40 years, everyone else of the children of Israel died. That generation that came out of the land of Egypt. Every one of them died, friends. Everyone except this man and Joshua. And this man, apparently, he found the fountain of youth. He says, "I'm just as strong as I was that day." And you remember, he went in the land and he brought back a minority report. And you'll recall that crowd when they saw the giants in the land. They wanted to return to Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery, brickyards, the lash of the taskmaster, chains and shackles, groaning under burdens, and no straw to make brick. And the Lord Jesus, you remember, said, "If a man put his hand to the plow, let him keep going, and take up your bed and walk." And the Puritan said, The reason the Lord said that, you're to make no arrangement for a relapse. And so this man Caleb said, let's go into the land. That's what we were called to do. You know, this man now has been out in the wilderness 40 years, and that wilderness killed off those other folk, but it didn't hurt this man at all. In fact, he found it as a very healthy place to be. Now, I suppose that many a day that somebody had come up to Caleb and says, oh, Brother Caleb, isn't it terrible out here in this wilderness? Oh, it's so hot today. It is terrible. It looks like God would be nicer to us than he's been. It looks like he'd do something for us. Oh, Brother Caleb, isn't it terrible? And Brother Caleb would say, I hadn't noticed it. You mean you hadn't noticed it's so hot today? Well, he says, we just well face up to facts. I noticed the thermometer's 118 today, pretty warm. But he said, you know what I was thinking? He said, I was thinking about those grapes of Eshcol that I saw. And I was thinking about that city of Hebron. Our father Abraham liked that place. He moved down there. I like that place. I want that place. And that's where I'm going. And this man out in the desert, he was able to think of the future. He had a great hope. And, you know, he didn't age at all out there. But the rest of the crowd, they died off. My friend, you want to lengthen your life? You want to be healthy? Let me give you a good formula, Caleb's formula. We're down here in a world that's filled with, oh, I tell you, there are a lot of things you can complain about, and I do my share of it. But the interesting thing is, what about your hope today? What about the future? Why, this man for 40 years in that wilderness was enjoying all the spiritual blessings that was his in Christ. And by the way, are you enjoying all the spiritual blessings that God has for you today? You say, oh, I'm having trouble. It's terrible. Yes, I grant you. I get letters from people really in trouble. My heart goes out to them. But I always think of the man. Years ago in the South, when he got up to give a testimony, he says, my favorite verse in the Bible is, it came to pass. Everybody looked puzzled. And the preacher asked him, said, what do you mean, came to pass? He says, you know, the reason I like that verse is because when I get into trouble and problems come to me, said, I just turned to that. It came to pass. And I know that my trouble and my problems, they've just come to pass, and they're going to pass away before long, and I won't have them much longer. Oh, my friend today, to have that attitude toward life, that's a Christian attitude, a hope in this life, and we need that today. Now, notice what he says. He says, now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, they were giants, by the way, they were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. You see, he believed God too. He's a man of faith. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Now, you'll recall when we were in Genesis that Abraham went there. It means communion. It's the place of fellowship. This man had enjoyed fellowship with God. Now he wants to go to that place. Notice, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Someday, friends, we'd be rewarded. And you'll not be rewarded about the great amount of work you've done for God. It won't be whether you were prominent or whether people heard about you or you were before the public. The important thing is, did you wholly follow the Lord? That's the important thing. Oh, that God's people would learn today the most important thing in this life is to wholly follow the Lord. Caleb, the man of God. He took Hebron. There were giants there. But he said, that's what I want, the very best spot. Oh, that you and I today might press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We must stop there today. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, that's great encouragement. Press on toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, Dr. McGee was right. Joshua chapter 14 is one of the most remarkable chapters in the Bible. We'll hear more about Caleb and Joshua in the days ahead. So hop aboard the Bible bus as it comes back by your way next time. And if you don't have Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for our study, you can always visit ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll see you back here next time.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?